It's a hot summer episode of Talk About That.
Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
Hey-o. What are we going to do?
No, it's a hot town summer in the city. Back of my neck. You remember that song?
Yes, I do now.
You didn't say hot town summer in the city.
I did not agree to this.
I was just rhyming. You're like, what are we doing?
Oh, my goodness.
John, help me with this rusty pipe down here that I'm trying to loosen with the back of my neck, evidently. I don't know.
I wonder if we have listeners anywhere in the world that it's not hot right now. See, I don't think this is a regional thing. You're always worried about that. Because right now...
Is this going to be about climate change? Right off the bat.
Guys, let's just talk about something serious. Something easy. I think it's hot everywhere.
Yeah.
I just spent a week. Well, 6 days, technically.
It makes you want to be a boat person, doesn't it?
You know, a lot of boat traffic comes up and down my street, and I do. I look at the trouble.
You don't live on the water. You mean like on trailers?
No.
I mean, there's been a horrible flood.
My street is a river.
I live on a canal, Johnny. There's a gondola that brings me home from work.
No, heading to the lake, and it's a lot. It's a lot of work. My dad had a boat, you know, and
oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Why was I never invited on your dad's boat?
Well, I've rarely went. So it was. There's actually a story.
Was it one of those like it just stayed and dry rotted and?
No, but we were at the beach. We were at the beach, and I forget where we were. And Dad and Papa, who are both deceased now, so I told the story at my dad's funeral. They were adventurers, mm-hmm. And so they were at the age of life. They had a little bit of money to do some stuff with. And they decided to buy a boat down there that would bring up here, which I don't think you're supposed to do, like bring a saltwater boat.
Oh, right. I don't know anything about it. That's the thing. That's the kind of thing I would try.
Someone right now is screaming.
Like, I bet you there's water in Tennessee, too.
I bet you we could float. Yeah. And so they got this boat, but where we bought it from, we took it to that house we were staying at, and then it had to be taken a long way to a boat ramp, which was for real, like 5 miles away or something.
That's not that far, John.
Well—
I don't understand.
It is whenever the boat you've bought has no lights and darkness falls. And you're
like you don't have a trailer with...
We were going to go taking it to the trailer the water.
Oh,
so I'm saying to get it out and take it home.
Oh.
So my dad and I were meeting my brother, and he was waiting at the boat ramp. We had no cell service or anything, and darkness fell, and we were like in this channel, like canal. We weren't out in the ocean, like trying to get to this area.
This is like a parable.
I'm hanging off the front of the boat with like a flashlight. Like it's almost pitch black. Mm-hmm. Don't know where we are. It was like this huge adventure. And we found out later, some of the locals told us like, apparently you should not have been able to navigate unless you were from around there because you should have run aground. It was like shallow places everywhere.
Come on,
Johnny.
You were protected.
And so, my dad and I was like one of our great adventures, you know, like in the dark, in the boat, just like we could see the distance, like this bridge with the cars moving is what we can never get there. Because, you know, on the water,
everything looks right close.
It's like,
close.
Oh my goodness, we're close, you know, and like, you know, 2 hours later, wow, we're still not close. Like, and so, you know,
I remember when I was in Vegas with Curry in 2004, we were there for a friend's wedding, and I'd never been to Las Vegas. And of course, it was just like everything my dumb fundamentalist self thought it would be. I was like, this is Sin City. But we went to his wedding, which was outside on the outskirts of the Strip, but we stayed at Bally's on the Strip. Mm-hmm. And so then we went to MGM Grand Hotel, which is way down on one end of the Strip. And then our hotel was in Bally's, which is like the center somewhere. But we walked out and I'm in my suit and like dress shoes and Curry's in like heels and her like evening gown from us going to this guy's wedding. And we're just hanging out, you know, in the casino in our dress clothes, but it's like cool because a lot of people are dressed up in there. But then I was like, rather than take the monorail, because you can see our hotel, I was like, let's just walk it. We set off on this walk in 102 degrees. It's like
in
9
the
at night. Right. Yeah. And we eventually gave up and got on the monorail because it was 5 miles. It was like unbelievable in dress clothes. So, and I told my buddy the next day about it, we'd been at his wedding. He was like, I heard you tried to walk to Bally's from MGM Grand. What are you, an idiot? It was just like, what are you, stupid? You didn't bring supplies?
I've only been to Vegas one time.
Yeah.
And I was telling Sadie the other day, like the thing about Vegas that gets me is.
What were you doing there? I don't even remember this.
My wife had a trip.
Oh, one of those.
A work trip.
Okay.
And I tagged along and I was writing Just Keep Breathing. On that trip, the second book with Reggie that I did.
In between gambling.
Right, right.
Just keep gambling.
Just keep gambling, yeah. But I stayed in the hotel all day. We went to shows at night, and she had to work at a hospital there during the day.
Yeah.
And it was a great trip for us, too. But I was like, if you go to downtown Nashville, I told Sadie, it was like, if you go to Broadway, so it's crawling with people. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, this is, you know, and it's growing. I was like, imagine Broadway times 250.
Yeah.
And that every building you saw was 100 times bigger. Like, I couldn't believe how big.
Yeah.
Just the, like, it was a visual just spectacle.
Yeah, it's sensory overload on purpose.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to overwhelm you.
Yeah, and it worked, John.
Yeah.
It worked.
I don't know. That's the thing, too, and people think of Nashville, they think of Broadway, just like, there's a lot, like, Vegas was the number one growing city in America for a long time, mm-hmm. before, like, 08, when everything, the bubble burst. But, like, there were all these subdivisions and families moving there, and I did a couple of churches in Vegas, and they never went to the Strip, and they go, everyone thinks that Vegas is the Strip, and so many people that go to church here, they've never been to the Strip.
Wow.
They just live in their little subdivision 5 miles outside of town, and they don't. They don't
associate.
Why would
I go sit in traffic for four hours, right?
They just don't do it. They don't, there's no, but some of them worked in the industry too. So that's a weird part too, is like, so like we got, Jeffrey and I did a show there at a church when I was just starting out. Some church there found a video that we had done, a dumb song for here about Coffee with the Pastor.
Yeah.
And they did a similar event. They're like, we love your Coffee with the Pastor song. Can you come do it? Can we borrow this song? And I was like, borrow it. I'll come to Vegas. And they bought it.
Wow.
And it wasn't a lot of money, but they put us up in a timeshare for a week because they have all these people in Vegas that have timeshares.
Yep.
Or work in the hotel industry. So they were like, if you'll stay here the whole week, or if you'll come to our service on Sunday, you can stay here the whole week. So Jeffrey and I were there, and it was for during the NAB thing, which is the big,
right.
Whatever NAB stands for.
It's the
National Association of
Tech.
It's a tech thing. It's the new, no, is
it's
it?
What would the B stand for tech things?
Anyway, it's the new, is it NAB?
Jeffrey's yelling right now.
Anyway. It's about the new cameras and the new whatever, the new tech in broadcasting. I think it is broadcasting.
Did Dane go with y'all?
No, not that year.
Okay.
There was another year he went with Jeffrey and them, but they never went with me.
Wow.
But anyway, we stayed in this. We did it two different years, but we stayed in this like timeshare that was bigger than my house at the time. Like the square footage was like, it was like one of those things out of a movie where you've got this gigantic full kitchen. It's just me and Jeffrey being like, I can never tell Curry how nice this is. It's nicer than any hotel we've ever stayed in.
Yeah.
But, and he wasn't dating Allie yet. I think the second year he was. They had just like kissed for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And so he was like a buzz.
I think
that
happened right, by the way, in this office.
Oh.
They told me that. They told me that. This was Jeffrey's office.
Didn't realize it was creepy.
This used to be Jeffrey's office. If you remember, so
anyway, they were both great trips. But
I think
yeah,
it was right where you're sitting.
Oh, hey, seriously.
Oh, dear.
This is getting intense. No, but that was fun. And but Vegas was not like we went to shows and stuff. We're just not like. I mean, I may have pulled like a slot machine handle a few times or whatever.
I'm just not.
I do
patient.
The ones that are like rigged. Like I do the ones that they go. I go. Yeah, I spent like $30 in the casino. What'd you do? I did the thing where you just put a quarter in at a time and and the machine slowly takes your money with the algorithm. Yeah, I did that. But it was like an hour of fun, so whatever. And they're just like, you're stupid.
It really
is. You got to go to one of the tables, right, if you're going to do anything.
I don't know.
But they're rigged too, probably.
No.
Those dealers, come on,
the
man.
Thing about the table is this is like
it's like $10 minimums, though, at some of these.
But my insecurity is I don't know all the lingo enough. Like,
right.
I understand blackjack. I could play it with you right now.
Hit, stand, stay.
But you'll be like.
No. Hit, stand, and stay are the same.
And I'm not to play poker.
Stick.
Like, so this is five card draw stud right. edition or whatever. You're like, I don't know. What are the
stud
what
edition.
Am I supposed to?
This is Laredo Hold'em.
He's just it's like when they get into the Texas. I know. Again, sorry. I do. I get it. But I don't know when I'm supposed to call or.
My buddy is a Twitch streamer and he does video poker.
Uh-huh.
And he'll tweet several times a day to his followers who follow him and support him. Like they give him pledges, their Patreons, to watch him play poker. That's how good he is.
Wow.
And he enters these big tournaments and he does these tweets like several times a day. He's like, I'm up too low, no cap, low hold'em. And you're like, I don't understand a word of what he's saying. And they do, it's like a whole language.
Yeah.
And I think, is that how we are in the church? Like, is there like, that's how people outside of our, like every place has a subculture.
Yep.
Like if you work in human resources, there's a subculture and a language. There's everything has it. But you don't think, you don't understand that everyone doesn't talk the way you do, maybe. It's strange.
Yeah, my wife's job in IT for radiology, though she's not an IT person, she's a manager. And when they talk, about, well, we got the PAX admins on the blog. I mean, she starts going into another language, and that's a very interesting idea. We've really tried here. Like, we don't have even life groups anymore. We just call them community groups because anybody walks in will know what this is. Not that they would be confused by life, but we're trying not to brand the things.
Are you confused by life?
Confused by life? Have we talked about the local church? There's a local church. I'm not going to say who it is.
Yeah.
But their whole, back when we used to be Life Assembly, their whole tagline for their church is, tired of enduring life? And the deal was, tons of people left our church to go to that other church. And yeah. So we kind of had like this whole running joke. Like that was their thing, you know, tired of enduring life. And we would then make our own joke about their church, tired of enduring the name of their church, which made no sense at all because it wasn't. I'll just say it. The name of their church was Joy. Yeah. So we're tired of enduring joy.
You can't, tired of joy.
You don't really get tired of enduring.
Joy got you down.
Yeah. So anyway, we love Joy
Church.
Come
take a rest in the Grove.
Mm, now we're the Grove. Tired of it. If they say tired of enduring the Grove, then we just
that's
know.
That's a direct shot.
They've officially now come out and said it. So, but no, they were great. They were a great church.
So, John, you're standing today.
I am.
And I'm sitting.
I'm for something.
Like a normal.
I'm standing for something.
It's about time. This feels like you're about to have a stern talk with me about what I've done. We found something in your room. It's that kind of.
Johnny's like, why were you in my house?
Exactly.
That's number one. Yeah. I am standing, Johnny, with a standing desk.
Which they're very trendy.
It's very nice. It's the one that goes on top of the regular desk.
This is not about productivity, though.
So I've been wanting.
This is about you've gone and hurt yourself.
I've been wanting one of these for a long time because I'm a stander. Like, I'm a walker.
You're not just a stander. You're a pacer. I don't know. I don't know how the standing would help you. You need a desk that straps around you like one of those drumline people, and you walk around with it in front of you.
That's a great idea.
And it just gets heavier and heavier throughout
the
day.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great idea.
Your shoulders slump down like, I've been worked an eight-hour day today.
I walked 27 miles.
You're just the letter C by the end of the day.
I'm kind of already that, some might say. But although my wife says I have better posture right now because I have a back injury.
Oh.
So I'm holding my shoulders up. So apparently back injury was the key.
I think
to
I have better
posture
now because I work out my back and I work out my chest, which kind of pushes you.
When I'm doing my push-ups, which I'm not at the moment. So here's, Johnny,
right
the worst.
Now you're just standing there.
The worst part of the facts, my back was beginning to get tweaked before our trip this last week back to Clearwater Beach.
How does it begin? What? You picked up
extra
some groceries,
sore.
You're at Costco.
No, just extra sore at night. And the real reason is, and this is where the shame begins.
Is this going to be one of those kind of stories, Jim? Let's keep it PG.
The shame is, as I was on writing deadlines.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been sitting in a variety of different kinds of chairs. Out of my deck, I have like the, you know what I sit on my deck? I have this couch thing out there.
Yeah.
But it's horrible for your back. So I have a, like a stadium
it's
seat.
It's cushions. It's cushions. It's a cushion.
It's no, it, no, you go right through those after a while. Like they just flatten. So I have a stadium seat like you take, and then I put two cushions on it.
Yeah.
And so, cause I'm
like your hemorrhoid donut.
I sit, it's kind of like that. I mean, I sit at the computer a lot.
I broke my coccyx.
And it's not, even because I'm, older now.
Yeah.
Because I had this when I was writing.
No, you're not
older. In my 30s.
No, you're younger.
Like I get writer's shoulder. Yeah. That's why I can't sit at a table. I have to have a keyboard down below. If I put my hands up on a table, people doing that, I'm like, man, if I did that, because I write 8 hours sometimes.
That's insane.
And it will just kill me. So I was beginning to feel it in my back. And I've been doing really well. I haven't had that for a while, but I had to go multiple places. Like I had to sit at a Subway for Sadie's volleyball practice and wrote for 2 hours of the day. And it was just really hard chair. So you do that every day. And I've had multiple deadlines, some editing deadlines and some composition deadlines. And I just got a little stove up. So I ordered this standing desk.
Right.
And then I got on a plane, which is great for your back too. And I went to Clearwater with the family. Well, this is where the shame sets in on a whole other level.
That you took another vacation.
Well, the staff.
Yet another.
The staff is all. Look, I told the staff again today. I said, look.
Sabbatical time.
Here's the deal. Everyone's doing what they got to do to make their lives work right now. And this is what I took my mom. And we went. And that's what I got to do right now.
Don't use your mom.
I am. Mom, I appreciate you being my excuse for going back to the beach. No. But I do. Laura and I have decided when we can,
yeah,
that we are buying, we're going to spend money on memories and not just on saving for future memories.
Right.
So we're trying to balance that.
I get it. So, experiences are worth the money. It's good.
It's the 2-week dead period of her volleyball practice with TFLSAA, which is the governing organization for athletics for high schools in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So, so this is when we could go. So we went and we had a great time. She took a friend. My mom went and had a great time. But the shame part is that the reason my back is now officially tweaked is I sat in a pool chair for the week. I know. And you would think, I mean, dudes, if you want the sermon.
You hurt yourself from relaxing.
From doing nothing is way worse than, because I'm so used to walking and being active.
Bro,
it was tweaked.
Preach.
And so, yes, I came home.
Yeah.
And it was pretty bad. So
didn't they say that about cars too? Like if you leave a car sitting, it's the worst thing you can do.
Oh,
you got to start it up every now and again.
Mm, come on, guys.
You can't just.
Some of y'all have been sitting.
You put a car in a pool chair. Now you've stretched that metaphor.
You put your 86 Oldsmobile in a pool chair. It will never start again. So it's tweaked. But I also have the TENS unit. Do you have one of those?
Where it like electrocutes your muscles and makes them pulse.
Yeah, I like to say Ace has a Bart collar, you know.
They don't work to like actually people try to sell those for years like they actually would grow muscles. Like you put it on your abs and the guy's gonna
Wouldn't
have
six
pack abs.
I do it all day long.
They'd show him at the end of the commercial and be like, holy moly.
Yeah, well the guy already had six pack abs
and
put them on, you know. Look at his abs. Like Ace has a shock collar that never actually shocks him. It just beeps first and then it vibrates.
Not
and
a sponsor.
He never gets to that. But I like to say about Ace that he puts the cute in electrocute.
That's adorable.
I don't put the cute electrocute the TENS unit nearly as much, but I've been putting that thing on. Although I will say this, I don't know a lot about electricity.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I can wire things, you know, but that's the one thing that scares me when I'm doing home projects a little bit, as long as the power's cut, but then I'm going to wire it wrong and something's going to catch on fire.
Right.
So I don't understand about streams of current and how those works, but I do know this. I had this thought the other day while wearing the TENS unit, which electricity now is coursing through my body, I needed to go to the bathroom.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so
is that going to be...
If adding a third stream...
Yeah.
Like, I don't... You know how grounding and
let it flow
liquid...
through you.
How like liquid flow... Liquid issues with electricity. And if I step into a puddle while I'm, you know, being... I don't know. So I took a chance and it was okay. But I thought this could really be bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm like creating some ground. I don't know. So anyway, that's my other thought on TENS units. I'm not sure. But my standing desk was here when I arrived. And so now I literally hauled it to the office today because hauling things is not hurting my back, just sitting. So I took it all the way up to the conference room, set up my own table and had staff meeting today from my standing desk. So you can imagine the jokes
that.
I'm looking down on them, you know.
Yeah.
What is this
contraption? Somebody needs attention.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you have another vacation and hurt yourself? You know, I got all that. And I came in here and you did the same thing.
Well, that's what I do.
You're like, well, it's kind of
my
living.
Job. Yeah, my job.
So, yes, standing desk. I'm a fan.
Well, I hope you feel better, though. I know back problems are the worst, man.
Yeah. I was able to get up and run this morning. I mean, I was running so slow, I was almost going backwards, but I did it. Like, it was more like a walk with my arms swaying kind of thing. But no, I mean, it was a little faster than that. So
were
Were
you off the ground?
Yeah. No, I actually...
So it was a jog.
I jogged. The deal is, it sounds crazy, but I ran once at the beach, too. My back was hurting. I ran in a blinding rainstorm, which is my favorite thing to do at the beach. It was so, like, running...
But no thunder? No lightning?
There was no lightning or thunder, Because I don't do that.
Yeah.
But it actually, if I can get past the pain, it actually warms up the muscles, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was able to do that again today. I was actually about mile and a half. It finally doesn't hurt at all. I still went super slow to be safe. But so that was nice. But so it's getting better. It's getting better.
They used to do that thing for people with their backs. What was that? Vax-D? Remember that Vax-D thing where you put your hands on the thing and the table slowly separates in the middle? It's like a rack.
Well,
but you
know,
do it to yourself.
They have the inversion tables that turns you upside
down.
This
is different. This is like you're laying face down on the table. You hold these handles and they put your feet in like stirrups or like they strap your feet down. And now the table begins to separate in the middle.
Wow.
And so you control the pressure because you can always let go of the handles.
Yeah.
But you're basically like... It used to be called, I don't know if they do it anymore. Maybe it was proven to be whatever, but it was called Vax-D.
Wow.
And it was like, it's like you're putting yourself on the rack.
Huh.
And I don't know. Our buddy, it was in our band, Finley, his dad had terrible back stuff from just all the years of carpet installation and knees and everything. And he would do that. Oh, he had to go for his Vax D today. I was like, all right, what is it? And he started explaining to me. I was like, this sounds like torture.
Wow.
Tell us what you know.
Have you ever water skied?
No.
So the thing about water skiing, when you first start, is when you fall, your inclination sometimes is to keep holding on to the rope. That's what makes me think of.
Oh,
it'll drag you if you're not like you would think, oh, this hurts, I should let go. But because it hurts, you hold on more.
Oh, man.
And so your first, that's one of the first things when I was learning to ski is like, hey, make sure you let go of the rope.
Do you know how to ski?
I can water ski.
Look at you.
I didn't learn until I was like, I don't know, 28.
I always heard you need to be like, I've heard people like that over 200 pounds. It's hard to get them up on the water.
You got to have a boat that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, again, the power of the boat matters.
I've always been like a big guy, and now even now I'm like 220, so it's like I don't want to be that guy that's like, look, Johnny, this boat, like, that would be such a demoralizing thing. We did the best we could.
It's like dragging an anchor.
I got her up as high as we could. Man, you are something.
Yeah. Why is the guy out of breath too?
That's, I don't know. He's
you know, I'm over here pedaling as fast as I can. Well, he had one of those pedal boats.
So, I don't know,
paddle boats. So call.
I want to, yeah, like I want to go skydiving now, but I just don't. I don't know. Like, that's the thing, because like forever, like skydiving, there's a weight limit on. It's like 230, 235.
Are you
want to
also go 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu?
Yes, I want to do all. I want to live like I'm done.
Wow. When are you? I mean, go do it. Your brother did it, right?
He's done it many times. He got like addicted to it for a little bit. He told me, he goes, it's like it's such a rush that he did it like 5 times in a row.
I could see that. It's
like all of his extra money was going to pay the tandem guy. And you strap a guy to you, so it's a weird, you know.
Yeah. I want to go alone.
He just had a guy on retainer. Hey, Leo, get on. And it's like Velcro to
him. He just wore the guy to work.
Yeah,
too.
He did. Yeah, he did the extra outfit ready. The guy just slips right in.
Right. It's like one of those baby holders. Put him on his back.
It would be for me, because there's no way my tandem guy's going to be bigger than me. So it's just going to be this little guy strapped to me.
Yeah.
Just his legs dangling. Just weird.
I wonder if those guys feel like that they're writing something down. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like
again, oh, yeah, maybe.
Like, you're the bull.
I'm the steed. I'm the trusty steed.
And they're riding you.
I'm Fu Manchu.
That's, you are.
They're living like they were dying. It's weird.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Well, I've never done it, but my buddy Marty, his wife just did it. It's her 50th, and she did it for her 50th. It was like her big, like, we're doing it. And like,
wow.
Him and so he filmed from the 50th ground.
50th birthday.
Yeah.
Because they can't be married
50
years.
No, 50th birthday.
Okay.
And
you said their 50th, so they.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's her 50th.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he turns 50 this year too, I think. But anyway, she did it, and he filmed from the ground and was like terrified the whole time. But she loved it, and it was tandem. But it was like, she loved it. And I think he said, you know, we'll just want to tell the life insurance people. You tell them. Yeah,
will they pay out? I wonder if you die.
I think they won't insure you in the outset of the policy. They ask you things like, are you considering...
Are you prone to jumping out of airplanes?
Well, they want to know, like, do you do dangerous things? Do you have a motorcycle? Do you scuba dive? Do you whatever? And are you planning to? They asked me, I'm getting a policy together now, a new term policy, because mine's one that I started when I was in my 30s is expiring. And they're like, do you intend to blah, blah, blah? They asked me if I had COVID. Which
really?
That's really interesting. I was like, all right. No, I never got it. And they were like, oh, okay. So I guess I don't know what that would have done to the rate. I mean, like, half of us got it, right? I mean, I don't know. It's weird. But, yeah, they ask if you're doing dangerous stuff. I thought they would ask me if I had a pit bull. They didn't. Because, you know, sometimes, like, if you have a certain breed of dog, then they're – they didn't ask me if I was a gun owner.
Wow.
I figured that would be a thing. But, no. Maybe there's a deeper questionnaire they're going to get into while we're here.
Right.
Do you have a podcast where you talk about? Yeah.
Is your pit bull a gun owner?
Yeah, that's right. Man,
they're super dangerous.
Worst.
You put a gun in their hand. You put a hand on them. Super dangerous.
Does your pit bull have opposable thumbs and a gun license?
You know, in Tennessee, you don't need a gun license anymore.
That's
scary to me a little bit. And I'll say this.
I think even people who are responsible gun owners should be a little bit alarmed by that. Not just like, well, finally, like, you shouldn't be okay with every knucklehead having a gun.
Like, here's the thing. Well, again, every knucklehead in Tennessee already could have a gun. This is about carry permit.
Right.
And you can open carry or conceal now. And the thing about it is, I have a carry permit. And what I appreciate about that is the training I went through.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's about the safety training.
What about, we do it with cars. You can't just be like, everyone can have a car. Yeah, you can. Take right. this course.
I totally think it's...
Prove to this person with a clipboard that you know what you're doing with this car.
Yeah, I totally think the Constitution says you have the right to have a gun and all those things. Yeah. I just think, like, we've made a political statement now.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, though, it could backfire on a traditional... Hello, am I right?
Recoil.
It could backfire a little bit on a traditional law and order platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because now... If you, for whatever you think, quote unquote, someone who is a thug is, technically, you're not going to be able to add a charge to whatever they've done because they were carrying a firearm.
Right.
So if you, again, maybe that's a, it does seem to me to have some undertones of this is for a certain kind of person, but yeah. the law is going to say everybody can. I don't like those undertones. I think regardless of who you are,
I don't like any undertones. Give me overtones the whole way. You know?
I don't know. I appreciated the, it gave me humility. You know, there was a humbling part to it.
Yeah, you need to be a little bit afraid of this thing.
Well, yeah, it's super dangerous.
It's like when I got the big scooter motorcycle thing that I had, you would get so comfortable with it sometimes that you would kind of, whoa, and there'd be a moment where uh-huh. you're riding it where you realize, this is a 500-pound machine that could kill me
yeah.
and my wife.
Yeah.
And that's permanent. And like, you have to have a healthy fear of these things.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm driving the family somewhere, you can get very comfortable. You're doing 80,
yeah.
you know, and you're like, oh, we've always done 80, you know, mm-hmm. for years. And you realize I probably pray more driving than almost anything. Like, not just out of fear, but I just realize how finite.
Yeah.
But it's deceptive. It lulls you in.
Because everybody's doing it, and you yeah. just go, well, I'm with the flow of traffic. I think I've been with you when you've prayed, and it's usually for the stupid people that are in front of you. Lord.
God.
Please, Lord.
I don't know how you're going to do it.
Help this lady.
Because this lady is an idiot.
Help this lady use her turn signals, Lord.
You know, I'm way better. Way, oh, okay. way better, yeah. I don't do a lot of road raging anymore. That's weird.
I miss that, John.
I can confess that I did. I have, I still, like the other day, Sadie laughed at me because now it's almost like comical. I was behind someone who wouldn't go or whatever, and they had a out-of-town license plate. And I was like, what did I say? I was like, oh, come on, Illinois, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What you do. You Mr. Know? Volkswagen doesn't need brake lights.
Well, look at me. You know, and so yeah. she was laughing in the back, you know. I think what kind of got me out of road raging was when my daughter started doing it too,
oh,
as a younger
right.
child.
You see the
what is wrong with these idiots?
Oh,
you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Call
some
people.
Cats in the cradle moment right
yeah,
there.
It's like, oh man,
my girl was just like me.
My girl was just like me. But I mean, for her, it was all joke, you know, and for fun. And it was like, oh, and that's what I act like it is too. And most of the time, it is. But now I'm like checking myself. Of it really. Is a sad, sad thing when someone who is alive in Christ can't drive down the road. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I was like, this is stupid. It's kind of like when I used to get mad playing basketball. I can tell the story. We were in North or South Carolina.
South.
Was it South? On a trip. We were the band for a big church, I mean, a huge church for their camp, for their kids. And one of our bandmates was the speaker that weekend as well. And we were playing basketball with the kids, and we used to get fairly competitive. What was I, 20?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
A wee babe.
Yeah. And so I remember, like, it was my bandmate who he just fouled the crap out of
right.
me or something.
You're on opposite teams.
Yeah, like 8 times. He just kept pushing me and stuff. Yeah. And, like, he got all mad at me, and I pushed back or whatever. And I remember that was the moment I looked up. And saw myself outside of myself for that
yeah.
particular issue.
You see how seventh graders might be looking
right.
at you.
It took 20 more years to figure it out on the road rage issue.
Yeah.
But on the basketball issue, I was like, I took him around. I was like, hey, never again
yeah.
am I going to be involved in something where we're like, you're about to go preach tonight. I'm going to go lead worship.
Right.
Not that that matters. I mean, I hate to be that guy. We're brother. We have a deeper calling.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it's just, we're just believers who love each other.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it looks to everybody,
yeah.
this is stupid.
And then when you got done with that, you were like, but you, it was a foul. Right,
right? But you did foul me. And I'm going to go to the free throw line for technical foul
yeah.
shots.
Yeah, that's a flagrant one.
But no. But anyway, and I'm sure I still crossed that line plenty of times after, but that's when I first thought to myself. That's something I talked to Sadie about some. There are moments in life where there's clarity where you can look at what you're doing and decide who you want to be in that area of life. I remember as a teenager seeing teenagers get in trouble or do things, and it was like I was able to learn from their mistakes a little bit.
Yeah.
To go, whether it was all, you know, for positive reasons, it could have been had judgment behind some of it, but look at them going, if nothing else, the consequence and the outcome of what's happening to them is something that I don't ever want.
Yeah.
And especially if it seemed dumb to me, like, I don't want to be looked at like they're being looked at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm not calling it all some positive way of seeing the world or a way of seeing other people, but there was a benefit to going, that consequence looks like something I would not want.
Yeah, I don't think that's judgment. I think that's just how we all live. Yeah. If you can learn from other people's mistakes rather than having to experience every single bad choice before you learn, like if that's the only way you learn is like, I had to do it. Cut my finger off.
Turns out he's right.
Man, this thing hurts like a mug. Like you have to be able to absorb and learn.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, it is weird when you see like everybody's the angry, dumb idiot on the road. And then sometimes you're the idiot and you realize, oh no, I just about rammed into this lady that I didn't see in my blind spot. Now I'm the idiot. And you go, wow, I probably need to watch how judgmental I am.
Well, true confession would be this. Come up to a four-way stop. This happened recently. And I don't know, a couple years ago maybe. And the guy across had no blinker on. So I had no idea what he's going to do. And I was frustrated. Dude, just put your blinker on.
Right.
And then I realize I don't have my blinker on. But I'm only frustrated with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
that's like our lives.
It was like, it really was.
We
it was like,
see,
oh my
you
goodness.
You can't see their blinker. You only see your.
He had a log in his blinker. And I had a splinter.
When you only see one set of blinkers, it was then that I turned left. Wait, that's not.
And I knew that's when the Lord's blinker. I do wonder what other things. I think getting older, that whole idea of, oh, I got older and I felt like I knew less always sounds so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But I think that what that really means is I'm more aware that I have blind spots that I can't see about myself. I think that's what that.
Yeah, you just get more in touch with your weakness.
Yeah.
And because I think you spend most of your teenage years in 20s and 30s, you hide weakness because you're like, I have to get ahead if I show them. So they always ask you, like, what do you think your biggest strengths are when you go to a job interview?
Right.
You know those questions are coming. That's a very indicative question.
Yeah.
Like it's very, it's like that's what they're looking for. What do you bring to the table? So you get used to hiding your weaknesses. And even in relationships, sometimes like you hide from the people who love you the most. They know you, but they don't know everything because you're like, they can't know this. But as you grow, you start going, wow, I really have a problem in this area and I need to either look at it or it will kill me or whatever. You get more in touch with, and sometimes you see the beauty in your vulnerability if you're doing it right, you know.
Sure. I mean, you know, the whole scriptural thing of, you know, basically his strength is made perfect in my weakness. It's such a weird, I guess, juxtaposition of concepts that sounds super spiritual.
Yeah.
That I think very few of us, myself included, have any real, I guess, we certainly don't seek after that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet Paul seemed to seek after it a little bit, not trouble, but he gloried is one word he used. He gloried in his weaknesses is what he'd say. And there was that, of course, what does that mean? You know, that he even said at one point, I think I take pleasure in. But I don't think it's the kind of pleasure of I like bad things happening. I think that there was an awareness of the weakness, certainly, that his strength could not coexist with God's strength. I mean, maybe that's the best way to say it. I can't be at full strength and be at God's full strength at the same time because the nature of my fallenness will cause me to do Deuteronomy 8, to say in my heart that these things have produced this for me. So therefore, you know, there's weakness that is allowed to happen in my life that reveals other strength, but I have to be okay with it. Jay's one. I have to let these things happen to some extent and don't try to wiggle out of all of them.
Well, it's the thing is like if we take part at all, it's so small compared to, it's like, it reminds me of like the old, I don't know if this commercial even, we're 5 years apart. Do you remember the shake and bake and I helped girl?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, I helped. Did you though? You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, that's what we are. We're the dumb little girl being like, I got flour all over me. I'm part of this, too. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, you helped. I'm going to let you think you helped, but there would be no biscuits if we waited on you, lady.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, that's brilliant. I don't know. You were here the other Sunday when I preached, I think, mm-hmm. which was awesome. Not the sermon, you being here, sorry.
I give it a 10 out of 10.
I think I did pretty well.
Wow.
No, you being
here. Stand-up desk has changed you.
It was great. It was great having you there. So, but, you know, I talked about.
And then you were there for my comedy show the following Thursday. Oh, wait. You were in a pool chair injuring yourself.
Throwing my back out doing nothing. No, I mean, I talked about that whole, the difficulties and suffering of life, whether or not it counts, you know, or how to suffer. If you're going to suffer in life, because we all will, is what it says, then suffer for the gospel. You get to choose in every situation to lose something that you gain elsewhere. Lose your way, you know, lose your bitterness, all those mm-hmm. kinds of things. You get to choose. That's what Paul invited Timothy, you know, basically suffer alongside me. Mm-hmm. So it was like a choice. You're going to have suffering this life. Do it this way. But that's something my friend told me, my friend Adam told me one time that stuck with me. I probably said it before, but I was like, man, I feel like, you know, this issue at church or this issue in my life or this internal issue, I'm fighting depression or I'm fighting insecurity, and I'm really trusting. I'm having to take a lot of steps to trust in the Lord, and it's hard. And does this count as suffering for the gospel? You know, because I think about the guy in Africa, you know, or the guy I just wrote this book for, who's, you know, helping starving children, this and that. That's real suffering. And he goes, John, it just lets you know how we think about God as our Father. He said, if your kid broke her arm and came to you, but it wasn't a life-threatening injury. She just broke her arm. Mm-hmm. It's okay. She's going to survive. You wouldn't be like, look, there are some people in this world that don't even have arms. How dare you bring to me this, you know, come back when you have a real problem. He's like, you know, a real father is going to care at all levels. And I think that understanding of the difficulty being something God's not just expecting us to endure or get through, but that's something he meets us in, mm-hmm. that is where he welcomes. That whole idea of him being near to the brokenhearted in Scripture is like this, or he's close to one with a contrite spirit. It's like this idea of, yeah, that's a way of being, instead of like, oh no, that's a human thing that all people are going to have. We just don't all allow God near to us in moments of brokenness. It's not just a person who's extra broken. It's right. Like all people are extra broken. It's not just situationally. You had a bad time. Oh, God was near. I think that's also true. But I think like the one who finds brokenness in every day, even when there's no disaster around, but says, I recognize, like you said, when you're getting older, I recognize this isn't changing about me, or this thing about me separates me from God's ways or hurts people around me. And I'm powerless to know how to adjust that. So that God's near, and that realization of that brokenness. And that's when he comes close and does new things. So.
Yeah. Has Sadie ever broken her arm?
No.
No broken bones?
No.
Even playing volleyball, no Mm-mm. ankles, nothing?
No.
Wow.
I feel like you're jinxing it.
Well, we jinxed it now. Yeah. Do we believe in jinxes,
I don't,
John?
But
do we believe in that? That's witchcraft.
I don't know what kind of wickedness you're bringing in. This, it's on your end.
Oh, man.
Not on mine.
She's tall and lanky, too. Man, I had some trick ankles growing up, and as an adult.
And today, yeah.
Yeah. Still got them.
Never forget the day you sprained both ankles. Yeah, at the same time, I watched you run off into the grass chasing a ball.
Yeah.
It's like, snap, snap.
It was
like,
bad.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know if I broke them, but I've sprained them very badly, for sure. They were black and blue.
Were you here the day I broke my ankle?
I don't know.
The last time?
Maybe. It was on the ball court, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they stuck my foot down in the 5-gallon ice water bucket, and it hurt worse than the broken ankle.
We never play basketball anymore, and it hurts.
I wonder why,
it hurts
Johnny.
My feelings.
I wonder why. Have you seen us?
I'm retired.
They had these ankle brace things at the last volleyball tournament in Atlanta that I almost bought because I thought, I want to play ball again, but that's the only way I'm doing it. Like, you're going to have to tape this thing up like an NBA player.
Well, they don't even make like high top shoes anymore, even. Like, you never see people who are mid is the most you'll ever see a basketball player.
Shouldn't high top, hell, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, it's that extra little, you think. We lace them up way. You don't think it helps from ankles?
If you come down somebody's foot, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? That's where I did mine. I think I came down a foot. heard a snap.
It's amazing it doesn't happen more often in like pro basketball because there's just feet everywhere and you just these gigantic size 15, 16 feet. You're just landing on a foot the wrong way. And then like your season's over. Like just it's affecting the playoffs right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he lands wrong a few games ago. His leg, his knee hyperextended, and like they showed it. It's one of those clips where they go, let's see what happened.
Ugh.
And they show it again. They're like, no, we're not looking at that again. And he like went emu. Like it bent. It bent backwards. It's like an ostrich.
Yeah.
They don't go that way. So there's still like doubt that he might come back for the finals. Yeah. They made the finals. The Bucks did, but there's talk that he might not play.
Did they win games without him to make the finals?
They did win one game without him, two games without him.
Well, there you go. It's a good team.
They are, but can they beat the Suns? This is a good year because it's two teams that have not sniffed a championship in decades and decades.
Have Suns been since Barkley?
No, 93.
Wow.
And they didn't win that year because that was one of the Bulls' years.
That wasn't John Starnes. He played for the Knicks.
Starks.
Starks. John Starnes was a Christian singer.
That sounds like a Michael Scarn character. I'm Michael Scarn.
Oh, my goodness.
John Starnes.
Threat level midnight. That's funny.
So
I actually have a John Starnes story I'll tell you later off the air.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. Something be intrigued,
for
everyone.
Patreon, maybe you'll get the John Starnes story, but I doubt it.
So I went on a date with John Starnes' daughter. That's the thing.
Oh.
And I drove my brother's 67 Mustang, and it broke down in their driveway in Brentwood. So I'm like this North Nashville, you know, just
wrong side
lower
of the track,
middle class guy. And my car broke down. I had to borrow their minivan to take her on the date.
Oh.
It did not work out. That was the only date we ever went on. So, but anyway, she was very nice.
That's an interesting solution. Hey, I need to borrow your van to take your daughter on a date.
Yeah, while my, and I thought the Mustang would be great.
While my Mustang just sits here and drips oil into your driveway.
Right. Yeah.
And it didn't work. That's one of those stories, like, it's great if you married that girl. And if not, it's just the saddest story.
You're just
story.
Like, oh, wow, that boy. And she was great. They were
nice. Let me tell you about your grandma, kids. Like, that's that kind of story. But if it's not that story, it's like, let me tell you what a loser your dad is.
Well, it's so funny. I look back at pictures of myself. And this is interesting. We're talking about this a little bit at lunch. Like, and I'm really working on this because I've gained weight.
Yeah.
So I can say that. Number one, I'm not a guy when I gain weight, I think that shows it a lot. People are like, what?
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Like, I've gained 25 pounds. But people go,
muscle, solid muscle.
It's not solid muscle.
Oh,
and,
no.
But I wear baggy shirts, so it's okay. But I recognize.
That's a 3X.
But I can tell. If you turn a telescope backwards and look at me. But I realize that when I look at old pictures, like Amazon photos will come up when our screen is on Prime Video sleeping. Like, and I don't like this. And I think that we assume that females do this more than males. And I don't really know that. But I know this. The first thing, and sometimes I believe the only thing that I see in those pictures is my fitness level.
Yeah.
Like I look back and I judge like that time of life almost by how I looked in it. And so when I go back to high school, middle school, like, dude, I was a dorky dressing kid. Laura and I laugh about it all the time, but I didn't know. Like, I'd go to these big things since I was a student council president and got all these, you know, these things I went to. But I would go to Goodwill and buy suits and stuff, sports coats and weird ties and stuff. And I just didn't have a sense. Like, I was the kid who didn't care. It was like, that was my shtick was, oh, I don't care about this, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I apparently had confidence and other things, but I look back now and go, ooh, that kid should not have had confidence. Like I look at that kid and I kind of judge the 16, 17 year old John for his poor fashion choices. And then I look at the 30 year old John and I judge him for his 20 extra pounds being overweight. And like everything I see in my past is through a lens of my appearance at that time. And I'm really feeling that has to be broken. Like that's a bad way to see the world. And I don't know how other people see it. I'm assuming it's worse for the females in my life because every billboard is showing
worse.
That.
Right. They've been hit with these. And now it's like there's the body positivity movement. But I was reading this great tweet last night, and I told you about it at lunch, about body positivity and the movement and how there's healthy and unhealthy sides to it. And I thought it was kind of an interesting indictment on it. It says, I wish mainstream body positivity focused less on everybody looks good and more on your body does not exist for the purpose of being looked at.
Yeah, wow.
Like, just this idea that, like, I've got to look good to other people or to myself because my body is this thing that needs to be hot all the time.
Right.
Because we've been so sexualized.
Yeah.
Without even some of us that don't even like, we're like, well, I don't bow to that. I don't want to. You're still wrapped up in it because you're being inundated with imagery all day that says, go get six pack abs. Like, people think that guys don't deal with it. And maybe they didn't generations ago.
Yeah.
As much. But you have guys now with eating disorders and terrible issues related to image because Men's Health magazine covers all this stuff, and women are co-opting that thing to this idea that women are not visual. We always were taught that too, you know, when you're raised, like, look, men are visual. They're going to struggle with porn, women, blah, blah, blah. And now you have tons of women addicted to porn.
Yeah, lots of them.
Like, it's so interesting. Like, we've decided that, even if you decided I'm going to opt out of that culture, meaning the visualization or the sexualization and body, like, it's around you. You can't really escape it until you kind of decide for yourself, like, this is, I'm not going to view anybody, this is, my body's a vehicle, it's this thing. I want to know the person. I want to see the value in the person. But you can't just, like, believe it and say it to yourself. You have to, like, get it in your heart and accept yourself for who you are. It's really hard. It takes, like, tons of steps.
I don't know if I can get there. Like, that's the thing. It's one of those, you know, discovery is not recovery. That's one thing from some people I'm writing with that they say all the time.
That feels like it needs another ovary. Like, discovery is not recovery. It's something. I don't know.
Can we not think of another ovary?
I don't know. There is no other ovary.
I don't know. It's probably some sort of science.
Yeah.
But that idea of just knowing, I always thought, and then probably that's a fault of a head first triad,
yeah,
six, is that I assume knowledge. I generally assume knowledge is not just power, but freedom.
Yeah.
It's really sort of the Garden of Eden. I mean, it's the whole tree of the knowledge. I mean, they have made an assumption. I think all of us do. If I just knew that, mm-hmm. You know, that would make a big difference. But man, it's really hard to know that about myself and still not be able to change it. Like that's what I think recovery is a process, and I hate all of the buzzwords for it that we think of that, but like there has to be a daily, like I'm a mentor to someone in recovery right now. And we were talking, it's almost a year and daily work for a year. And sometimes you're repeating the same thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. the questions are the same. It's not every day is some revelation, which is what we want. But over time, over the course of time, it comes because it's not even just a discipline. You just have to give yourself time to go through a process of change. You just can't change. We were laughing at lunch. I've gained this weight. And so yesterday I started back and drank a bunch of water and I took my big walk. I couldn't run because my back, and I ate right, you know, and I even kind of inadvertently did some intermittent fasting and had a pretty good whoosh, is what my wife and I call it, a whoosh on the scale this morning, because I was at my highest. Like the 4th of July, I ate stuff from dawn till dusk. I just ate and ate and ate, and I've been at the beach all week and all these things. So I was already up, kind of, probably that number was inflated a little bit worse than it really was, just because of all the stuff I'd had. But at the end of the day, it's so much harder to take even one of those pounds off mm-hmm. than it was to put it on. But what we really want is that quick, in all things of life, like I got to this point of being angry on the road for a reason.
Right. And it took time.
Yeah.
It developed in you. It developed from like probably like stuff that you were dealing with in childhood even.
Yeah.
Maybe in the way you saw, sometimes it's like if the way you see your parents drive. You know,
see,
just
I
like
never
say
heard my dad doing that. Or my mom, either one. But yeah.
Where'd you get it from? Where'd it come from?
I don't
from?
Know.
The
don't
devil.
Know. Well, I think that a lot of it's not just what you saw. It's not just behavioral. It's also how you see the world.
Right, how you're wired.
Right, and then how you're wired with that seeing of the world. I see the world as a place where I'm supposed to get ahead. That's where it really comes from.
Yeah, or
they're
sometimes,
in my way.
Well, I've been with you times when we would have left late.
Yeah.
And you're mad that we can't get there on time when we could have left on time.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're like, you're mad at everybody for not getting out of your way.
Though it's my
but
fault.
But it's your fault.
Yeah.
You left late. That's why you're late.
I don't want to deal with what I will look like showing up late. I don't want to
deal. Right, that's the fear. It's not just a matter of being late makes you uneasy. It's the feeling of yeah, looking irresponsible makes you feel uneasy.
You know, even that, it's less about the look of it. I don't want to deal with the stress of having to catch up when I get there. Like, yeah. This is going to be so much more stressful for us to get all this equipment set up or whatever. And then we have to do, and that's the other thing, everything in our life and mine and your life together over the years and now in our own individual careers and things that we do, everything that we work for also is followed by a moment of some kind of performance. Mm-hmm. So if I'll write and write and write and write and write, and then there's a day of a book release mm-hmm. when I'm trying to support, it's a different animal now. I'm not actually writing anymore. I hope we get this interview and this mm-hmm. television thing and this, I have to support it. And so it's a performance. I feel this great pressure.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, dude, I'll be vulnerable. The book on racism coming out in October is I have to put it before Jesus because it's such great pressure over me that I'm going to blow it. The book, I think, is unbelievable.
Not put it before Jesus, like in
sorry, guys.
Order of importance.
I have to bring it before Jesus. Of, yeah. Sorry. Bring it before Jesus, not put it.
Look, I've done put this book before Jesus, so hope he's cool with it.
In front of Jesus is what I'm trying to say. Not in front of him in line, but before. Okay. Yeah,
there's no good way to say this.
So, yeah. I have to bring this thing to Jesus because it is such a, like, it's so important. I don't want to screw it up in the release. So I'm confident in the writing, the content. Guys, you should go and pre-order it. Like, I'm excited about it. I feel super confident.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, yeah, but I can't control, you know, what television show or podcast picks us up. I can't control who buys. I could go try to build my social media following. And that just, oh, that's a performance for me that I'm like, yeah, I can't write a good book and do that without teams and other people. So it's like this pressure for me. So everywhere we go, yeah, if you and I are late, usually we're going somewhere that we're going to have to do something when we get there.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, it's about not screwing up whatever I got to do when I actually get to the place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, Johnny. Can you scoot over on the couch? I need to lay down.
Tell me about your mother, Johnny. she needs to be on the podcast, actually. We need to bring Mama D in and just do a full-on expose of your broken psyche. Just what went wrong?
We should bring my mom and Laura together.
Oh, it'd be great.
And let them both.
What's it like to live with this
mass
of humanity?
Yeah.
This tangled web of neurons is John Driver.
We could bring Sadie, too. Just do three generations of it. And wow.
Just, I feel a lot of eye rolls that we would then have to, like, I would have a little, like, bloop, like, we would just have a counter that the audio audience could know how many eye rolls there were in the room as you said. Well, what I really mean when I say that is, bloop, bloop, bloop. You just hear them going off.
The thing about my mother is what you would find.
Yeah.
Because she is saintly.
Yes.
Is my mom, if she sees the negative, she very rarely says it.
She accentuates the positive.
She is so encouraging. She just encourages you. Like, when I get done preaching, if no one else has said a word to me.
Right.
When I get home and it's time to eat lunch, Mom will go, and then look, I know you don't need compliments, but that really was my favorite sermon I ever heard in my life.
No.
And you're like, and she means it. That's what I love, you know. And so, Mom, I know you're listening.
She's the sweetest.
And I love you. You know?
She's the best.
But you could say negative things, Mom, about me to be okay.
She's very positive. I don't understand that mentality, but it's just fascinating to me. You know, a very move that rubber tree plant kind of vibe. She moved the rubber tree plant. Your mom did it.
My mom is the kind of person, I brag on her. She went on vacation with us.
Yeah.
And I talked to her into getting a massage at the resort.
Yeah.
She got a massage. She comes back and goes, Mom, how was it? She goes, it was great. She's like, the girl giving me the massage, she starts telling me all about her life, all about her issues.
Yeah.
Mom prayed with her.
Oh.
They talked, shared, cried together, the whole deal. And it was just like, you were just like Jesus to people. Like, she really was. She went to do something for herself that she was paying for and ended up totally blessing the other person more than the experience. And they just shared it just because Mom's just, you know, and she was at the pool of the day and we were down at the beach and she was at the pool. So, oh, I have people around me all talking. Like, she just connects well with people and shares life, you know. So it was just, you know, anyway, I was like, man, when I went to get a massage about 6 weeks ago at the same.
It would be hard for me to, yeah.
I fell asleep.
You didn't ask about the person's life. You're like, I noticed when you were talking about your son who is sick that the pressure on my lower back, you kind of backed off. Could you focus on that area some more?
I don't feel
like...
when
you said you lost your pet and you were working on my neck and then it felt like you just stopped completely for a second while you sobbed? Could you...
Can I get that 5 minutes back?
Can I please... I know the time. Can I get a do-over?
Yeah. Well, we had a couples massage, so we were in the same room and literally I woke myself up with a snore. Done that with like a big snore? So it's like, I was like, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep. Next thing I know, and I was like, oh man, one big snore. Laura said she heard it.
Yeah.
And shame abounded.
Oh, so, come on.
Yeah. It was like a, oh, that wasn't really my snore. That was way too,
right.
That had too much repercussion in it.
Have you, because you guys have done the couples massage.
That's what we did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've not done that.
Oh, it's great.
I don't think I've never had a massage. Other than, you know, what you get from your wife or whatever.
You're just in the same room with her. It's not like there's anything hey, what are you doing over there?
Again, body positivity. I've never really like tapped into that. But now I'm just like, I'm getting there and I'm okay. Let's go do it. So we'll do it probably this vacation. We're probably going to do it.
Well, I sent you those two resorts.
I'm going to look into it. It's where you stayed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can afford it, John. I don't know. I'm making that author coin.
Can I tell you something? Go in the off season.
But, John, that's a long wait, bro. You're talking about hurricane season.
Oh, you know, there's already one.
I know.
It came the week after we left. There's a tropical storm. It's raining every day. I'll tell you something. Favor ain't fair, bro. That's the blessing of the Lord. Touch not my anointed with a storm.
Is that what? Peace be still while I finish this massage.
Can I get another daiquiri? Oh, my goodness. It was a great trip. I love Clearwater. I will say this. It was like South Beach, though, in Miami. Like, I looked out at the public beach.
Just jammed with people, yeah.
And you could see, you know, for miles.
Yeah.
And there were more blue umbrellas. There had to be 20,000 people I was looking at. Like, it was unbelievable. We don't normally go in June and July. But again, dead period for volleyball. And so that was kind of our slot. And I was like, wow, that is a lot. There's a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
And I went and talked to every single one of them, Johnny.
And you shared the gospel with each and every one of them.
I do try to be present. I got to do better. I got to be more like my mom. That's a good way to be.
Man.
So, yeah.
I'll do the massage part. You know, like I'll be more like her in that I'm probably going to get a massage.
Okay.
That's a step.
It's a start. It's a start.
Like I went to say, hey, do you know the Lord? But what I said was...
Lower.
Yeah. My right shoulder really bothers me. It's a close.
You know, I feel you pressing in on your story right now. What I need you to do is press in on my sciatic. This nerve is, I don't know. So
sciatic is like, that's your butt cheek, basically, right? That's a...
Yeah, well, yeah.
They're on your glutes if you're doing...
They will do a little bit of glute.
Is this a female, John?
Yeah. But... I can't say anything right now. I was with my wife. It was a couples massage.
That's fine, so, John.
Yeah.
Look, whatever you're into, whatever hedonism, I'm kidding around. Massages.
He's kidding, guys. He's kidding, probably.
So. I'm hopefully your back will feel better.
Thanks. I think it's getting better today for sure. So it's going to keep electrocuting.
Just keep standing and electrocuting yourself.
Yeah. So
moving forward,
I put the cute in electrocute.
And we hope that you, dear listener,
won't have electrified by today's.
We hope you feel supported in the lumbar region and in general.
If you stood throughout the entire podcast, then
maybe some people listen at a stand-up desk.
You were in
like,
good company.
Yeah,
yeah.
I represent the sitting population. Yeah.
Johnny's a part of the sitting community, so
yes, huge.
Yeah, he does a lot for the sitting community.
Feels like. It's like a protest, but I'm not really like sure what my cause is yet. I'm like, I want to sit down and think about it.
Well, you know what they say? If you don't sit for something, then you'll sit for everything. Wait.
If you don't sit, it's got to be here.
If you don't stand for sitting, then you'll fall for standing. I don't know.
It could happen.
It's a homonym. Hey, we do hope that you've listened and enjoyed prose stylings of John and Johnny today. I want to talk about that. And you can go check out our podcast.
Talk about
website.
That. Talk about that podcast.com.
Yeah, sorry, I was not fast
170?
enough.
170?
I think this is episode 167 today.
And yet there's 170 archived episodes.
Wow.
Three that you unlock. Maybe.
Yes. For the low price of $19.99.
Yeah. No, go listen, and people have been. We've heard from several of our listeners that they've been going back binge listening, which makes me nervous because I'm like, I don't really know how the show has evolved.
Yeah.
So I'd be really like weirded out. Like it'd be like going back and watching my old stand up, which you can't do. You can't really do. Like I can watch the old specials, but I can't watch like the first couple of years of clips that I just shot from the back of the room. It would make me want to quit. I'd be like, ooh.
But listener, don't take Johnny's advice. It won't make you want to quit.
No, go back. And I'm saying like, I haven't done it, but somebody gave me comments. They're like, maybe they're still because they're so good. And oh, well, that's really sweet. You know,
we should go listen one day.
And it was your mom. She never says anything. I think she's lying at this point. No, it wasn't. It wasn't your mom. But
no,
but yeah, you can do that. Go listen. And then you can even go to our Patreon, kick in a few shekels if you feel so lit. Listen, I know it's tough times for some people. Yeah. Don't feel obligated. But just know there's a lot of people listening for free, and maybe if you have something, you should give all the more to make up for those moochers. I started off being really nice, and it came off.
You know, here's the thing. Even if you don't feel led,
right,
you could still do it.
Well, that's what I said at the end of the
lead
comedy
yourself.
Show.
Yeah.
Because I said at the end of the comedy show, I was like, people always go like, if you don't have a home church, you know, we want to invite you to our church. And I was like, look, even if you have a home church, but you're tired of it. Maybe they're teaching on like Job.
You tired of enduring life?
Yeah, maybe you're over it. You're like, ooh, this Job stuff is, it's boils every week. Get out of here.
Goodness.
Come on over. Like, I don't want to feel like, you know.
That's good. Well, that's what everyone means when they say that.
People are afraid to say, hey, you hate your church. Get over here.
Remember that church in Knoxville that was way out of town in a little city?
The church alive
is worth the drive.
It sounds like something you would say if you were a car dealership.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It was a very used car dealer.
If you want a deal, get over here and get some wheels. I don't know. They always have to run. That's how you know.
Push, pull, drag your soul to Jesus at our church here at the Grove.
Bankruptcy? No problem. Sin? No problem.
No problem. Everyone's approved.
Yeah.
Wait, that's bad. We do approve of everyone, Johnny. We just bring them into.
Listen, if you're listening to us, then you have our approval.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, maybe you're into some horrible things, so maybe not. Maybe we should. We're gonna give you like a very tentative approval.
How about this? We love you, but
we do love you.
Get some, you know,
get some help.
Keep growing. Yeah,
yeah. Figure it out.
One of my favorite things you've ever said, and we'll close with this, was when we were doing the bit on. The all-inclusive missionary.
Oh, all-inclusive, yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about raising funds.
And I said, he told me I could go raise money from people. And I remember he said, Johnny, go get some help.
And that's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for. I want your help.
So we hope it's helped you today as well, listener. And we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.